Greetings from the Pumpkin Patch and welcome, fellow Halloweeniacs, to the Jack-O-Lantern Press podcast on the Weird Network, where we discuss monsters and Halloween. My name's Michael Piccarella.
And my name's Tom Piccarello.
It's Trick or Treat Bag Tuesday when Tom and I share something cool we've been checking out over the past few days. Let's get right into it, Tom. What have you been checking out over these last few days? What have you got in your trick or treat bag?
I definitely have. Well, I mean, over the last several weeks, we both have checked out a bunch of horror stuff, probably gotten into more than we ever really wanted to between books, video games, movies, all kinds of stuff. But there's one in particular that I think I was pretty excited about.
Well, why don't you tell us what it is, Blade?
I'm going to. I'm going to right now. So this game came out on May 4th of 2023. And it goes along with a lot of video games that I've had, not only just personally, but also for my business, Virtudome, the VR arcade. And the series is by WannaDev Studios, and the game that came out is called Propagation Paradise Hotel. And this
and
is
you
a VR
you did
game.
It. Did I ever go in any of the Propagation things?
Yes, you so you did the first Propagation VR zombie title that was in the grocery store, and that was stage one of three different stages for their zombie series, which
to date,
and I will still claim this ground, is to date is still the best zombie experience that I've ever played, and which is why or that I've ever played in VR, let's just say that. There's been a lot of other zombie games that I think are good, but still, VR brings a different element, and Propagation is just the best series of zombie games. I think that this French studio has done an amazing job with this, and I'm glad that they're continuing to make these games. So this game that came out, Propagation Paradise Hotel. They are coming out on the PSVR 2. They just didn't come out initially, but they brought it out for PC VR, so you could get it on Steam, as well as on the Meta Quest 2 platform. It's $19.99, and I mean, it's a part of these Propagation series that this company keeps coming out with. And if you want to look at genres, It's an indie developer. It's a shooter game, adventure game, fighting game. I think it's also somewhat of a survival game because you're collecting contents and whatnot. The description that they have on there, it says, "Trapped inside the Paradise Hotel, you are desperate to find your sister. Explore dark surroundings, gather resources, and survive terrifying encounters. This is an intense single-player VR survival horror game with great storytelling that will get your adrenaline pumping." Now, here's the thing. Here's the reason why I love this game. Is that the environments are amazing. I mean, even on the menu screen, when you load the game up, you're standing in a dark area with these... You're like standing in a hallway and... Just the environments, the intensity, the sound effects, everything about this game is crazy. And right now, all the reviews that are coming out on YouTube and even people who are writing the reviews on Metacritic and on the MetaQuest platforms, as well as the Steam reviews, are all saying this right now, with all the games that have out, this right now is the scariest VR game that is out. Now, I'm going to say that I think it's definitely up there. I still, and maybe it's just me because it's a haunted house, but Affected the Manor has always been one of my favorite horror experiences if you wanted to set aside like zombie stuff. But this is right up there. I mean, this is intense. You cannot walk by zombies and you're just sitting there wondering, okay, is this body going to pop up? And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. if you shoot a gun around a zombie that's sort of laying down and you make noise, that that body will come to life into a zombie and start eating your leg. And you have to shoot him off the game. I mean, it is intense. And so some people are getting irritated because it's the length of the game is only 3 hours. And, you know, you pay 20 only. Bucks. But that's just it. It's like you pay 20 bucks for a 3 hour experience. You're not even going to do that going to watch a movie.
So I mean, what's the average length of a game? Like, what are people wanting it to be? Like, hours and hours?
This is the problem that I have with people who compare VR games to flat games, as they call them, flat screen games. Because the flat screen games, you're just sitting there, they want a 50-hour game. Well, this is not considered, in my opinion, VR games are... Sometimes you want to have a long experience that you could go back to and do different things like an open world game or something along those lines. But sometimes these are experiences, and I think I've brought this up on other shows before. These things are supposed to be, you pop it on. If you play it in a couple of sessions, fine. But these games are supposed to be about the experience. And if you sat there for 20 hours... with how crazy intense this is, I mean, it is like fear fatigue. Like, you honestly get your heart's pumping, your adrenaline's up. I mean, when they say adrenaline pumping, it seriously brings you to that environment, and you forget that you're standing there with a headset on. I mean, it is intense.
So when you say 5 hours of gameplay, is there like an objective and you level up and that type of thing, or can you just roam around like you're talking about?
Well, that's so it's 3 hours, just to make it clear.
3 hours, right.
3 hours of gameplay, but the thing is that I don't even know like how to say it's just a survival game. So you could go wherever you want to go, but there's a map, so you pull the map out of your pocket. It pops up in front of your face. It tells you where you are, your objectives of where you need to go. The goal of the game is you're basically wandering through a hotel that has the powers having problems. You're looking, you're playing as this woman who is looking for her sister. Her sister made a phone call to the police, and then it was like broadcast over radio. And so her sister knows that she's alive, and so the goal is to go around and try to find her sister. And while you're looking for him, all these zombies are coming at you. And then there's this big zombie that's at the end, some creature that's crazy. Now, real quick, before I get into just the last part of this, let's run the trailer so people can hear it, and then I'll say what the reviews are getting, and then I'll be done from there. But here's the trailer.
It's so strange. It's never that quiet here usually.
It's even a little too quiet, if you want my opinion.
Hello? My name is Ashley Diaz. I'm at the Paradise Hotel. I'll be waiting for you on the roof. Please, hurry.
My sister is alive, Owen.
We should stay together. Are you ready? Can we go now?
Okay, let's go.
Looks like the elevators are dead. Let's take the stairs.
Oh my God. Whoa. What is that? I need to find Ashley before this monster finds her. Coming.
Oh, okay, that thing's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so and the sound effects and the eeriness of it and all that is just, they just did a great job. And once again, like I said, this propagation series will always be my favorite unless they come out with something somebody could really come up to the level that this studio is coming out with. So one other thing that I wanted to just throw out there, on Steam, it's got a 9 out of 10 rating. And then on the MetaQuest store, it is a 4.6 out of 5, which, you know, sometimes these reviews, people just, they're all, oh, yeah, it's a 3-hour campaign. It's not even a campaign, dude. It's just a game, like with an experience. Some people, you know, it doesn't work well on their headset because they got stupid
stuff
running.
Still pretty great reviews between the two of them.
Really good reviews. And I just, this is such a great game that I had to bring it up when it came out. I was so excited that this was coming out because I love the horror games. But yeah, this was fun and still is fun. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to keep replaying it. There's several different difficulty modes, so you could put it on like easy, and or it goes all the way up to nightmare, which just makes it harder. You get a gun and a shotgun in it, as you heard in the trailer. But it's a really good game. Anybody who has followed this or has a VR headset, they really need to get involved in this series. And then at my arcade, I run the stuff that they don't even have out. It's just for arcades, and their stuff is just the best. So, yeah, there you go.
Nice. All right. Well, the item in my trick-or-treat bag this evening is a novel called Undertaker's Moon. It's by Ronald Kelly, and it's been described as a graveyard feast under the summer moon about a rural Tennessee town facing a hellish lycanthrope from ancient Ireland. So a couple years ago, I picked up a book, an anthology of Halloween stories by Ronald Kelly called The Halloween Store and Other Tales of All Hallows Eve. And that was the first that I had read of Ronald Kelly. I actually got that book. I ordered it the day before Halloween a couple years ago. Got it on Halloween. So after Halloween was over and I cleaned up everything, I read a couple stories out of it and then just totally got hooked on his writing. I found another Halloween anthology he wrote called Mr. Glowbones and Other Halloween Tales, and that's another really great collection. And, you know, I think that I just got hooked on his writing style, his ideas, his feel for Halloween, and the Halloween feel that he brought to the forefront of my mind while reading his stories. So just being, you know, wanting more, I go to his website looking for more Halloween books. Unfortunately, those are the only two anthologies he had. And then all of a sudden, as I'm scrolling, I come across this giant, sinister werewolf basking in the blue light of a full moon. And I was like, what the heck is this? And it just so happened this was last week. No, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe.
I think it was 2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago, yeah. And the full moon, I knew the full moon was coming. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this dang thing. Well, I had read an interview with Ronald Kelly on Cemetery Dance Magazine, and I was reading about that one and another book that he wrote called Bloodkin, but this one, he was talking about his love for the movie The Wolfman, even though he said The Creature from the Black Lagoon was his favorite book. But he was saying that he had read about every, I'm looking at the interview now, I'd read about every werewolf novel I could get my hands on, books like The Wolfen, The Wolf's Hour, and Cyclo the Werewolf. When I finally decided to try my hand at it, I knew I had to come up with something a little different. I had my werewolves depend on grave robbing to appease their craving of human flesh and to avoid detection. I also had the clan of lycanthropes hail from Ireland. This gave me an opportunity to use my Irish heritage in the storyline. My ancestors originated from County Mayo in the Emerald Island. I did a lot of research and injected some Gaelic folklore and old Irish legend into the plot. And I don't know, there was something about that that really hooked me. I liked that he was taking kind of a new angle on the thing. And I liked that he was making it personal to his heritage. And also, you know, he writes what he calls Southern fried horror. And I like that he uses where he comes from, you know, here in the States as, you know, a backdrop for his story. And so it's just like, that's kind of a no-brainer. So I got this thing. And the cool thing is, if you order straight from his website, what I understand is he'll typically sign it and draw a little illustration in the book. And of course, that's exactly what he did. And I wrote about this in a column on our Jack-O-Lantern Press blog. And I have a picture of the artwork that he put in my book. So I'll link that in the show notes if anyone wants to read that little story. But yeah, so far it's been a great book. Just really cool. Everything that I wanted out of a werewolf story. It has
that
cool
cover
mood.
Looks sweet too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it opens with some werewolf stuff, then it starts building the plot, and I'm already getting into more werewolf stuff, and it so far is not disappointing. I'm about halfway through the thing. I usually read a little in the morning, a little at night, and I should be finished in no time. But
I think
pretty
one
awesome.
Of the, one of the things that you were saying about the book. So the funny part is Mike ended up getting that book, and then I was getting all pumped about when we were just sitting there talking on the phone. And so I decided to get the zombie book from it, but that
no,
I don't want to put
the vampire.
That as,
you got
or the vampire one, not the zombie. I'm so much into zombies right now. But the vampire book, and so I started that. That's the Blood King or Blood Kin. And I've started it. I haven't actually gotten into it, so I'm not doing a full review or even going to say. But it's good. I think one of the things that both Mike and I liked about these books is that the chapters are short, so you could get through it. You know, in settings and with the time that both Mike and I have, it's kind of nice to just be able to, you know, come home, you know, get a chapter in. And then he's not writing, you know, at least in the one I'm reading, he doesn't write to the point where it's really difficult to read. He doesn't have like 500 different characters. He's to the point, very descriptive, I feel like, in his writing. I mean, very descriptive.
Yeah, he keeps it moving along.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. What I like about it is each chapter you can read in like 15, 20 minutes. So it's like the chapters that are really long, I always hate because it's like, okay, where's a good stopping point? You know, it's like right. I don't have an hour to, and even sometimes I watch my movies this way, you know, it's like while I'm eating or something like that, I'll watch, you know, 15, 20 minutes and then I got to go. Not movies I haven't seen, but movies I've seen many times, I'll kind of watch that way. But yeah, for like a book, it's like, okay, 15, 20 minutes, read a chapter, good. And then you could go on to, you know, whatever else you have to do. But I will say, yeah, I was definitely thinking of getting Bloodkin because again, he puts a cool little local spin on the thing. So like on Bloodkin, he was talking, so this again was in this interview in Cemetery Dance. By the way, this is issue 63, if anyone wants to check it out. It was one of their Halloween issues. It's a back issue you could get digitally. You can't get the hard copy anymore. But anyway, he was talking about this vampire called Grandpappy. He says, also, Grandpappy didn't change into bats and wolves like traditional vampires usually do. Since I used the Great Smoky Mountains as the backdrop of the story, I had him turn into the wildlife of that area, crows, weasels, bears, and other animals native to the region. That, to me, that is so cool. And that's what I like about his writing, is he really makes it unique to his perspective and what he's interested in. And I just love that. You could feel the passion in his writing and what he's writing about. And it does feel unique. So yeah, I'm totally digging this one, The Undertaker's Moon so far. And yeah, looking forward to finishing it and maybe even getting Bloodkin for myself.
Yeah, I ended up getting the digital copy of it, but I'll probably order the physical copy so I can get his autograph and whatnot and the illustration.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So anyway, yeah, that's my trick-or-treat item for this evening.
Nice.
All right, cool. Anything else, Tom, before we call it a night?
No, I mean, the only thing I was going to just mention there just on yours is that we're hoping, and we're not 100% on this, but we're hoping that that we might be able to do an interview with him. I think it would be neat. And that's one of the reasons why Mike's reading the werewolf book and I'm reading the vampire book. You know, because we are hopeful maybe in an episode to come that we could get him on and interview him and see what he's got to say.
Yeah, no, yeah, so Ronald Kelly, yeah, he did say that he was interested in coming on, so we'll just have to figure out a time. I wanted to finish this book.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk to him about his Halloween stories because I really was into those, and I did ask him if he had another Halloween anthology in the works. He says, not technically, but who knows when inspiration will hit. So we could definitely ask him about that. Because, yeah, he just has a way, at least for me, the stuff that he brings up, the stuff that he writes about, really just brings Halloween to my mind the way I like Halloween. So. All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for this Trick or Treat Bag Tuesday. For more about the Monster Universe and the Monster Revolution that's upon us, go to jackolanternpress.com. There you'll also find our book, Transylvania Traveler, which is a humorous travel guide to and through the Monster Universe. And you can call our pumpkin hotline and leave us a message with any questions, suggestions, or your impressions of the show at 323-761-0276. If you enjoy the show, please give us a rating and a review. It's a big help for the podcast, and we would greatly appreciate it. As always, thank you for joining us, and we'll meet up again soon in the Pumpkin Patch.